Good evening. We ask you to please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse number 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, as it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Verse 47. And all who heard were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And Jesus said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Verse number 51. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept these things in her heart. There's a number of things that the scriptures teach us regarding the life of Jesus. First of all, understanding that this great writer was a Gentile. There's a lot of things that are said about doctors, lawyers, and preachers. It is said that preachers see us, you and me, generally at our absolute best. Lawyers generally see us, you and me, at our absolute worst. But those who attend doctors, those doctors who are attending us, they generally have to look at us and evaluate our physical situation, and they give us a report just as it is. Here, Luke is a writer who is a minister of the Lord, who is a Gentile, who is a doctor, who writes about this universal gospel. Luke has a tendency to, I believe, let all barriers down so that everybody everywhere can understand these words. Luke, for a long time, has given us certain aspects of the gospel that none of the other gospel writers do. Luke tells us about the parable of the good Samaritan. Luke is the only one who shows us Naaman, the leper, and shows us what a shining example he is, even to this Christian generation. You know, Luke also tells us that there would be men coming from the north, south, east, and west who would sit down at the table of God and fellowship. No longer would the message of God be strictly for Jews only. And I'm so thankful for this opportunity from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All of the gospel writers write about Isaiah chapter 40, where they talk about prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight in the desert. This is a highway for our Lord. Every single gospel writer talks about that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But John continued this quotation to what I believe is its triumphant conclusion. He says, "All flesh shall see the salvation of God." And that's the one thing that I'm excited about this evening, is that you and I are privileged to be able to be parted to the salvation that God has established for each one of us. This book is written by a Gentile, and it is addressed to Gentiles. Perhaps nowhere is the theme of this book better illustrated than in the 15th chapter, which is a chapter that I'm sure that is familiar to many of us. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost son, Our subject this evening is not going to deal with chapter 15. We are dealing with chapter 2. But chapter 15 is a very familiar grouping of scriptures for us Christians. Here in the closing of chapter number 2, as we read verses 41 through 51, 52, Luke gives us the only glimpse that the gospel offers into the childhood of Jesus Christ. He provides the earliest records of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Most of us are familiar with the details of this event. Mary and Joseph had traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover, and they took along with them 12-year-old Jesus. And as they headed home, they discovered that 12-year-old Jesus was not with them. You know, this had to be kind of a concerning, taxing event for his mother and father. When we can't just reach out and touch our children and know where they are, our hearts are heavy because we as parents feel a God-given obligation or responsibility to take care of those whom God has blessed us to rear. And I can see this being a very difficult situation for them as well. But the Bible tells us that they rush back, and after 3 days of seeking, they found Jesus in the midst of the temple, and they saw him dealing with the doctors and the professors of the law, and he was reasoning and rationalizing with them. And it was an amazing thing to those folk who heard him. Here's a 12-year-old student of the Word of God. You know, the unique thing about Christ is that he was not enrolled in any of our modern universities. He did not get his message secondhand from someone who had to instruct him. He came from heaven. So when he spoke to these doctors of the law, that he spoke to them in such a way that they knew that he was one who came with authority. And in doing so, they listened and they were amazed at the thing that this young man said. Then comes a key passage here, I believe, in the life of Jesus. Mary says to him, she says, "Your father and I have been looking for you anxiously." And Jesus responds, I think, you know, very mildly. He takes the term that Mary has assigned to Joseph, and he assigns this same term, Father, to God in heaven. And he says, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" I think that's just such a unique way, the way Jesus wanted to let Mary and Joseph know who his real father was. Yes, Joseph and Mary had stewardship over him as a human being, but his allegiance and his tutorage came from his father who was in heaven. From that statement, I am amazed that Joseph and Mary didn't just go off on Jesus the way many of us would have gone off on our kids if they had said something similar to us. They might have saw it as a point of disrespect, but Mary and Joseph both knew that Jesus was the Son of God, that they were blessed to bring a Savior for the society into this world. And the unique thing about Mary and Joseph, perhaps sometime they had forgotten that Jesus was not just a human, but he was also God. And this kind of shook them, I believe, back to the realization, to realize that Jesus is not just our son, but he is also the Son of God. Even 12-year-old Jesus understood his unique relationship with God. He understood his unique relationship in the world. The Bible tells us that even though he told Mary and Joseph these statements, that he left and he became humble and he was obedient to his parents. You know, this is what all young folk are required to do in society. We're required to be obedient to our parents, to be obedient to those who have rule and authority over us. In doing so, we are pleasing to God. These rabbis had never met a young man quite like Jesus. They never met anyone who thought like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But this evening, for the next 14 minutes, we're going to concentrate on one subject. This is a concept of reconciliation. You know, God fixing everything right with man so that man could have a working relationship with him. Mary and Joseph went home without Jesus. But then they returned and they found him. I believe that there are some great spiritual lessons that are found in that particular statement alone. This uncommon event in the life of Jesus, it occurred by two of the most unlikely people, his parents. You know, I could see anybody leaving Jesus, but not his parents. I could kind of see them putting him in the responsibility of a relative, but the relative might have not kept a watchful eye over him. However, in this instance, it was his parents who had lost him. Let me first say that I'm not going to criticize Mary and Joseph for this act. You see, there's a good explanation, I believe, why Jesus was left behind. As I prepared for this lesson, I was reading from the writings of Barclay. And Barclay gave what I consider a profound explanation as to why his parents had left him. He goes on to tell the story sort of like this. He says that the men and the women, when they were traveling or caravanning from one place to another, that the women generally left earlier than the men. And the men, the women sort of travel slower, and the men travel faster. So they would catch up with the women on the route. And then they would have a campsite, and the women would have prepared food for everybody. The young children, infants to about 12 years old or so, generally would have been with the women in their caravan. Generally, the young men who are generally 13 years old or so would have been with the men. And I could see Jesus being just right on the edge at age 12. You know, just between a boy and a man, as it is stated in Jewish law. But 12-year-old Jesus here, nevertheless, was nowhere to be found. So Mary thought Jesus was with Joseph. And Joseph thought Jesus was with Mary. And it wasn't until they came together at the camp that night that they found that Jesus was not with either one of them, nor was he with any of their relatives. You see, from a spiritual perspective, there are many of us who are in the same predicament today. It shouldn't be surprising among us who are Christians, those of us who are members of the Lord's church, that sinners, that worldly people, do not take Jesus with them, that worldly people leave Jesus behind. But in this instance, on tonight, we want to talk about why Jesus was left behind. And what does this mean to you and me? Could we ourselves leave Jesus behind? You know, it's not surprising to me to know that Jesus has been left behind for a long time among religious people. As a matter of fact, there are people in pulpits everywhere on this day who are preaching that this is the day Jesus Christ was resurrected from the grave. Now, we preach that every Lord's Day here. We have a memorial that celebrates the death of Christ every Lord's Day here. But there are many people in the religious world who primarily only consider the Lord on what we so-called Easter and on Christmas. The other 52 Sundays, they really don't even know that he exists or even suspect that he exists. He's been left behind, the Lord has been left behind by moral people. People who think that it's good for me to just be a good human being, but they still have left Jesus behind because they have not yet obeyed his word to the heart. So I'm not surprised that people leave Jesus behind. Even those who loudly proclaim him from the mountaintops sometime have left Jesus behind. And it wasn't long before Jesus was left behind, not by accident, by many who said, "I believe." You know, I think the number one reason that I kind of have come to the conclusion that none of us are immune from the dangers of leaving Jesus behind is that there are many folk who think that because of their great belief in the Word of God, that they will not be affected by the events of their lives. They will never, ever leave Jesus. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse number 12, he says, "Let him who thinks he stand take heed, lest he falls." We need to be very careful about saying what we will and will not do. I can remember Peter saying, "Lord, I don't care who will leave you. I will not leave you." And the Bible tells us that likewise, the other disciples said also. And it wasn't long before Jesus was standing by himself, even with the best intentions. People sometime leave Jesus, knowing that they should not. There's another reason why I think that Mary and Joseph just didn't decide to leave Jesus behind. But this thing just sort of happened. They didn't want to leave Jesus behind, but they did. Despite their good intentions of hoping that he was with family members, hoping he was with friends, they still didn't know his whereabouts. And they had gone a day's journey without knowing where he was. And then they searched the city for 2 more days trying to find him. You know, this don't sound like to me careless parents. This doesn't sound like to me parents who didn't love their children. It sounds to me like they weren't expecting Jesus not to be in the company of their grouping. But despite that, even with the best intentions, sometimes religious people leave Jesus behind. And then finally, brethren, I think there's something else we can notice here from Mary and Joseph, those two beloved ones who left Jesus behind. I see Jesus not running away. See, that's a difficulty that we have in our society. When I lived in New York City, I would turn the news came on there at 11 o'clock. And the first thing that all of the major news channels had on there when they began the newscast, it's 11 o'clock at night. Do you know where your children are? And I always thought, man, you know, that's kind of shabby to be saying that. But as a parent, man, I know where my children supposed to be. I don't always know where they are. But you see here, Mary and Joseph, I believe, they sort of looked at this as Jesus was among friends and he was among family. It's okay to leave him alone for a little while. But I think they also came to the conclusion here that, you know, Jesus was where he was. We left him. We assumed that he was with us. We assumed he was with family members. We assumed he was in the company of those whom we love. You see, certain things happen, my brothers and sisters, when we began assuming about the gospel. We began thinking certain things that the gospel don't teach. There are many folks that say it doesn't matter what church you belong to. Well, I beg to differ with you. Because if the Bible says there was only one church established, if the Bible tells me there's only one Lord, if the Bible tells me there's only one faith, I of necessity can't believe that there are two faiths. You see, many of us assume that the scriptures have given authority to many folk whom the scriptures have not given authority to. You know, I got about another 6 or 7 pages here, but time will not permit us to finish every aspect of it. But I want you to know this evening that for many a reason, many a people have left Jesus behind, and they have not taken him with him in the many places that they have journeyed. One of the things that I made up in my mind, and I pray that I can hold fast to this thought until death, that regardless of where I go, I want to take Jesus with me. And if I ever leave him, I want to return to Jerusalem and find him again. Thank you so much for being so attentive this evening.